The Dating Show with Pete Wicks and Cece Coleman on FUBAR Radio.
Cece?
Yes.
It's me.
Oh, I've missed you. I have, genuinely.
I've missed you so much. And you know what happens? You know, in the back, I subconsciously miss you all the time.
Yeah.
Like 24/7.
Yeah.
And then what happens is now and then it pops up on Instagram, something that we've done together. And then in my heart just goes, oh.
So this is genuine. I saw a picture of you the other day and I looked at you for a very long time and I was like, I fucking miss this man. Why aren't we podcasting today? I fucking miss this person.
I just...
It
makes me very angry that I just sometimes I think to myself, what did I do before Cece?
If this is how we're starting, you know the show is going to go completely wrong from here.
Well, listen, to everyone else, welcome to the Pete and Cece Love Fest, otherwise known as The Dating Show on FUBAR Radio. This week, we've got a topic which is going public.
Love this.
So, yeah, this is obviously if you're in a relationship, whatever going public means to you. But if you're in a relationship and when is the right time to tell people that you are off the market?
Yeah.
And our guest this week is someone we see every week. One of us seems to know the guest.
Yeah, this is a bit of you this week, isn't it?
It's a little bit of me. This week is MasterChef winner, radio presenter and all round good guy, Riyad, who obviously I did MasterChef with.
Did he beat you?
Oh, absolutely smashed the life out of me. He actually won the whole competition, so I don't mind.
Wow.
He's an amazing chef. Do you know what's really funny, actually, is when he first came on, when we did the heat together, they did this thing called a larder challenge, which is basically they go into the fridge, take what you want and cook what you want. And I'm pretty sure his first dish, they don't prepare you for that. They just go and cook, Sank. You've got half an hour. And I'm pretty sure he cooks like a squab pigeon.
What?
Yeah, I did pancakes. So
I get it now. Okay, I see.
You know what I mean?
Right, that's why. Yeah, slight difference.
Yeah, yeah. But the I mean, I didn't know what I was doing, so obviously I picked up a bottle of wine straight away.
Yeah, naturally.
What you can just do with that wine, Pete? So I just unscrewed it and went drinking. What do you think? So whilst I was cooking my pancakes, I was just downing bottles of wine, which I think set the tone for how shit I was going to be.
Well, what were you meant to do with the wine then?
Well, you can use it for cooking, can't you?
Oh, God, no.
Everyone else was just looking at me like, is this bloke really just pouring himself fucking glasses of wine whilst cooking? I was like, well, do you know what I mean? I drink wine when I'm cooking at home, so why wouldn't I eat it?
Fucking
pancakes. Yeah, I'll draw a pancake.
Okay, well, we've clearly sold the guest today, so if you're...
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested, so
We're also going to have the Love the Way You Lie game with Riyad and our favourite part of the show, the listeners' questions and advice. But before that, Cece, what do you want from me?
Oh, the same thing I want every single week.
Which keep it clean.
Okay. Oh. Okay, then I would like to learn this week.
You would like to learn?
I would like to learn.
Well, get ready for an education because it's time for the dating sex book. With me, Pete Wicks. That was my radio voice.
Yeah, I liked it.
What did you think? Did you like it?
Really good.
Thank you.
Strong.
So this week's dating sex book term is the angry dragon.
Right.
Cece, think about this.
Okay, thinking about it. So I always have to go with the first thought. I feel like the angry dragon is morning sex, but when you haven't cleaned your teeth, so the dragon breath, and it's quite amped up. So probably from behind, but just quite an amped up version of sex.
So it's fucking someone from behind because they have bad breath.
Pretty much, but I liked my version better. Like, you've simplified it. I like the little like nuances I put on top, which make it sound...
I also enjoyed your nuances, but it is wrong.
Okay.
The angry dragon is a sex act. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Can you do me a favour again? I always like it when you close your eyes.
Oh, okay. Is it this point that I close my eyes, or is there another point?
I don't know. I just like it when you close your eyes. You look very pretty when you sleep.
Okay. Oh, Oh, I was going to say, next time I get up and lay next to someone, I won't run off and put makeup on then.
No. You're a pretty sleeper. That also makes me sound like a peeping Tom. Are you ready?
It's getting good today. Go.
A sex act in which you smack the back of your partner's head right after ejaculating in their mouth. This causes semen to erupt from their nostrils while they roar like a fire-breathing dragon.
I couldn't have been more wrong.
No, you couldn't. It's basically spunk in her mouth, smack on the back of the head, semen comes out the nose. Looks like a dragon.
Wow.
How'd you feel about that? Have you ever
participated? No.
You knew where I was going there, didn't you?
If someone smacked the back of my head, I would smack their willy so hard. Trust me. Really?
Some people are into that sort of dick slapping
aggression. Yeah. No, not me. No.
Do you know what? When Fubar kind of gave me the opportunity to kind of host this show with you, I thought to myself, now is my time to educate the people of the UK. Well, not just the UK, the world, because we have people from all over the world listening. So I just thought now's the time for me to educate people on, ways in which that they can spice up their
sex life, if you want to call that sex life. Cool. Well, do you know what? Again, learn something new, and also, we all got to try new things.
Yeah, exactly. We've all got to try new things. And also, anyone that has listened to my dating sex book and has tried some of these things, or is willing to try some of these things, or get some inspiration from me, because obviously I understand I'm an inspirational guy when it comes to the dating sex book. So if people would like to try these things and let us know how you get on, that would be great. So write to us. Or send us a message on the Instagram, which is the dating_show. That would be great, because I'd like to hear how the angry dragon goes down with your
partner. I would. I actually got a message from one of our listeners last week about one of the stories. You know what? I'll bring it up later on when we go back to our stories, because she responded, so we have an answer.
I also got a response from one of our listeners last week. Hannah with the beautiful voice.
Yeah, I think it's the same person.
Fabulous.
Okay.
Now on to weird and wonderful dating news. Cece, take it away for me.
Okay. He's seen it all before, says woman whose midwife was her ex-boyfriend.
Sorry?
Can I just take a minute to think about that? Wow. Hold on. I'll read it out again just in case no one got it. So he's seen it before, says a woman whose midwife, that's the person that, delivers babies.
Was that a mid-husband then?
So, yeah, would it be a mid-husband? That's actually a good question. What do midwives, what do they call when they're men?
Is it a mid-husband or is it a mid-person?
A mid-man.
Mid-man.
Mid-man. So her mid-man was her ex.
Say it again for me.
Mid-man.
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 Okay, the mid-man.
The mid-man delivered.
The mid-man delivered.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did.
A woman named Tasha was shocked when she was giving birth and her ex-boyfriend walked in. Oh, I get it now. Okay, so Tasha was expecting her first child. While she knew her ex, Tim, was a nurse at the local hospital, she never imagined that she would end up as one of his patients. But when she was in the ward, as she was getting ready to push, her midwife said that she would soon be finishing her shift and another midwife would be taking over. Right.
Midman
walked in the room and casually said, "Hey, Tasha," before going on to deliver her first child, Mackenzie. Mackenzie's dad was not as relaxed, saying, "Are you fucking kidding?" before calming down and focusing again on the birth. Tasha says she was thinking to herself, that's fine. It's not the first time he's been down there. Tasha, you dirty bird.
You dirty bitch. Wow. I mean, it's not the first time he's been down there, but normally he's putting something in rather than taking something out. So I imagine that was slightly different.
Okay. Tasha's partner's the one I'm feeling for here.
So am I.
He's got to deal with a lot. It's not even him delivering his own baby. It's the ex. That's emotional deepness.
To be honest with you, this whole story is a little bit mental, but I'm here for it and I like it. But still, the only thing I can think of is, what do you call a midwife that's a man?
Shall I Google it quickly?
Can we? Can we? Because it's going to play on my mind and I'm not going to be able to concentrate on Riyadh.
Okay.
Our producer.
Oh, it's called a male midwife. Okay. Oh, great.
Oh, that's not as exact. Okay. Well, it's called a male midwife, but we like midman.
No, midman's much better.
Yeah, we like midman. Yeah. Again, so we're just changing terms and doing all sorts of things on this show. So
I reckon in the Urban Dictionary it actually says that. I don't, maybe not the English or Cambridge Urban.
I think we should set up our own dictionary.
Oh, I mean, we pretty much do every week with your sex book. So I'm sure some of these... Oh, dear, you look very confused. What is wrong?
Do you think... I just had a thought. Obviously, we work in the public eye, and people in the public eye like to just try and make as much money off of anything they possibly can. Do you think we should release a PC sex book Christmas book?
Oh, God, you just come up with these ideas, honestly.
Or PC Christmas crackers.
P!
What's an angry pot?
Oh, that is the one. Maybe we should have said this on air, because now we've got to find someone to, pay us to do it. And maybe we need... Okay, we'll come back to that.
We'll come back to that. But yeah, listen, we'll come back to that. If you do see some PC merchandise coming soon, because we've obviously got the T-shirts coming with the circle and...
Yeah, that's already,
because that's the circle of love. We're going to have a full merchandise. We'll set up a www.pc.com.
I think the crackers are a fucking brilliant idea.
Yeah, thank you.
I'd buy my own crackers, or I'd buy our crackers.
No, because we'll have Christmas dinner together and we'll pull...
Yeah, well, then we'll buy our own crackers.
Well, I can't imagine we'll have to buy them, babe. If we're making them, we'll probably get some for free. Fucking hell. I'll be absolutely raging if I've got to buy my own crackers. Do you know what I mean? If I don't get gifted a set of my own crackers, I'll be fucking raging. Well, Jesus Christ, CC. So, everyone, you are listening to The Dating Show on FUBAR Radio, if you are still listening. Still to come, we have our guest, Riyad, who won MasterChef, and he's a radio presenter, and he's just a really great guy. We've got your best and worst dating stories, and our topic this week is... Drum roll.
It is, but... Going public.
Going public.
So I'm going to talk about that a little bit, because back in the day when it used to be like fashionable, or it was the thing to do when you'd go on Facebook, and you'd type.
Just know
in,
where you're going all the time. We're telepathic girls.
And you'd be like, "Hello, I'm like in a relationship." And what was the other one? It was "It's complicated." Do you remember that one?
Yeah, it's in a relationship with.
Yeah.
Or it's complicated.
And
or
I don't think you put with who you're complicated with, do you?
No. It's complicated with Melanie down the road. Do
but
you know
that,
what I mean?
Again, that wouldn't surprise me, because I think people are so oversharing now that it wouldn't surprise me if they wanted
to. But then what it used to do, it used to pop up on the feed. So you'd be sitting there.
Yeah.
And then in your feed, it would be, I don't know, Jess, whoever is now single. So you'd like that one. Or poke them. Did you poke them? Then you give them a little poke.
Yeah.
Give a little virtual poke.
Yeah.
Just to go, I see you're single now, babe.
Yeah.
Facebook were great, weren't it?
Well, I just think it was, in some ways, it was quite a casual way of doing, of showing, your status. So it's sort of like a dating app in a weird way. But now I just think it's gone a bit far, because the exposure now, so obviously we've gone, I mean, everyone's using Facebook, and I know it's, Instagram is owned by Facebook, but Instagram, it's like, well, it starts off with going on a picture when you're on a date, doesn't it? And then you probably get someone's arm in the picture, and then you're like, who's that? Is that
then it's, it, yeah, it's the driving one, where they're driving.
The driving. The driving one.
Yeah. See, I could never be part of them leading up to things, because obviously my arms are quite recognisable.
Yes.
So it's fairly obvious whose fucking arm it is whenever it's in a picture. So I used to fucking just try and get out of the way of every fucking picture.
So, Pete, let me ask you, when does it feel right for you? Because you've had some high profile relationships, you've been...
Well, you say that.
Okay.
I've had one, really. And the rest, I mean, look, if I get pictured with a girl on a night out, even someone who's a friend, that then for the next 6 months becomes girlfriend. Ooh. So if I then get pictured a week after with a different girl who might also be a friend, it will be following on from previous relationships. So my relationship history, and now and then, like the Sun or whatever will do my relationship history, there's about 30 people on it. Some of which are just friends that I've been pictured with.
Yeah.
But then they go, then he moved on to a short relationship or a short dating whoever, and actually it's bollocks, it's not happened. So I basically go public with people I'm not even with.
So Wendy, then you go public. When for you? I don't. Have you never like put someone on your gram?
One person, my ex was the only person that has been on my gram as a relationship.
More than a friend, is it? Interesting. And is that because it was already out there and everyone already knew?
So. It's generally already out there. And also, I think a lot of people now are, as much as they do that kind of hiding kind of, you know, I'm with someone, but you don't know who type shit. Or I tell you what I do see a lot of time, and girls do it mostly, is you'll see a girl and she'll put up a picture of a boyfriend, and then people, you know, when you go try and tag or look who the boyfriend is.
Yeah.
And then it'll be, not this time. Which I think is quite funny.
Yeah.
But a lot of people now generally try and keep things a little bit more private, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, you've got a mixture. You kind of got people that are well over the top and like everyone to know they've got a new boyfriend
mm-hmm.
or a new girlfriend, and they do that nonstop. And then next week it's a different person. Then next mm-hmm. week it's a different person. And this is the love of my life. And I'm going to marry this person. I'm going to have fucking kids with him. And the next week, this is his brother, actually. or you've got the people that are in relationships that you would never know about and you think are completely single.
Yeah.
So, and there's a lot of people like that who have been, you know, you think are completely single, constantly with the girls on nights out, constantly going lovely places on holiday, and you think, who the fuck are you going with? And then you find out they've been in a relationship for 15 years. And you think, well, what?
On that lovely little note of yours, shall we enter our guest?
Shall we end? Well, let's not enter him. Let's invite him in. Let's invite him into the...
Enter him.
I don't...
Enter him in.
I love Riyadh, but I don't want to enter him. Maybe should we invite him into the conversation?
Enter him in.
No, let's not enter Riyadh.
Enter him in.
No, let's just invite... Okay, Riyadh.
Enter.
Hello.
How are you, MasterChef winner?
I'm all right. How are you doing? Actually, where's
the trophy? Show me the trophy, because obviously,
hang on.
We've got to see it, mate.
Let me just show you.
I never got a chance to actually see it, did I? So, look at that.
Yeah.
Very pretty.
I shine it every day. It gets polished.
Fabulous. You're busy shining that and polishing that, and I'm busy shining, polishing something I've always had. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good. I was just... I bumped into Cece yesterday.
We did, didn't we?
How was your brunch?
Lush. That place is my new hangout. It's very, very nice. How was yours?
Yeah, it was really, really nice.
Could you have done better?
To be honest, that whole road, Northcote Road, is like packed with places. It's like so hard to pick somewhere, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're all good.
Sport choice.
But yeah, it's. I saw Cece walk by and I said to my boyfriend, I was like, I think I'm on her show tomorrow, but I'm not 100% sure.
And then I went and Googled you. I was like, hold on one second. Let me just check one second to make sure that I'm not talking to a complete stranger here. Yeah. So apologies for that. But it was lovely to see you.
Yeah. And I think we both read the brief now.
Yeah, we both read the brief. You know what we're doing today. Yeah. Good.
Are you sure you both know what's happening?
I think so.
Okay, good. All right, I'll tell you what we're going to do then, Riyadh. We're going to start you off. We're going to tickle your bollocks and start you off with some quick-fire questions, aren't we, Cece?
We are indeed.
So, do you know what? You crack on, babe.
All right, then, the first one. Would you prefer a date night in or a date night out?
Oh, I think because we are in a pandemic, I'm all about going out, date night out.
Kissing or cuddling?
Kissing, defo.
Giving gifts or receiving gifts?
Receiving, hello.
dating apps or meeting in person?
Meeting in person.
Dream job or dream partner?
Oh, that's the hard one.
This is our favourite one.
I know.
Dream partner.
Okay, chat up line or straight to the point?
Straight to the point, I'm Irish, ain't no messing.
B- Big spoon or little spoon?
Big spoon.
Nice. And single or taken? I think we know the answer to that one. You've got a lovely fella, haven't you?
Yeah, taken. Very much so.
How long have we been together?
3 years.
Which fucking hell.
In gay years is like a lifetime because generally they don't last as well. No, that's like a stereotype. But yeah, no, we're doing well.
Amazing.
So 3 years, so that fits in nicely. So our subject today is basically around when is it acceptable to share that your partner is your partner? So 3 years, how long did it take you to announce, what's your partner's name?
Josh.
Josh, before you announced him on socials, when did this happen?
It's a weird thing, isn't it? It's like, when did it become expected that you have to sort of put out a press release about, you know, here's Bay, hope you enjoy him too, and
as much as I do, yeah
it's like a business announcement, but yeah, you kind of have to do it, otherwise people are a bit like, whoa, what's going on? So we he was like quite active on Instagram, and he's like a bit of an influencer at the time when we met, and so we both had a following, and we both knew that a lot of the following was overlapping. So we had to have this conversation of, you know, we want to let people know, but we want to keep it classy. We don't want to make it like a big song and dance.
I just love the idea of a couple sitting there going, we have to let the fans know.
I know.
I absolutely love the idea of that conversation, sitting there with a glass of wine. When are we going to let everyone know?
They're just dying to know.
Honestly, because I'm pretty sure some of them can't sleep because they've got an idea.
They have to know.
It's not been confirmed. I love that. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
But we were like toying with the idea for a while, and then we went on a holiday to Crete. I think maybe 2 months into dating, and on that holiday, a lot of stuff happened. It was also me saying, "I love you" for the first time. And I actually didn't know whether I was supposed to say, will you be my boyfriend or I love you first. I think everyone has a different...
Interesting, yeah.
What do you think?
I think it depends. I quite like to know that I'm someone's partner, even though I know that they're my partner. So I want to know. I'm like, can you just ask me to be your fucking girlfriend, please?
Yeah.
Even though I know.
Okay. So I've got a completely... Here we go, me. I've just got a completely different experience of all this, because obviously I have been single the majority of my life. Do people ask people to be their boyfriend and girlfriend in that?
Yes.
Is that what you do?
Well, it's awkward though, because you don't want to make it kind of like you're asking your business partner to, invest in your business. It's like, no... I quite like the asking though, because it's almost like a pre-engagement. It's like, we had a big fight on a night out, and some ex tried to weasel his way in with me. Of course, everyone just wants a piece of Riyadh, you know how it is.
Of course, mate.
And so he was quite, we were like walking on eggshells with each other. But I think that kind of emotion and passion led to me saying, will you be my boyfriend? To kind of say, no, I'm picking you. And it actually turned a difficult thing into quite a romantic thing. And I liked asking.
I think it is good to have, like, it's just, I mean, look, we all know, right? You know when you're with someone, you know when you're not. But it's quite nice to have that confirmation. For instance, in arguments or in when someone else is, you know, involved in it, and then they say, is this your partner, and you haven't had that chat, it's a bit like, well, yeah, they are, we've been together for a few months, and but we haven't actually had the girlfriend or boyfriend thing yet, but we're about to, and you know, and you're sort of justifying yourself to someone because they've just simply asked, is that your partner?
Yeah. No, which I'd is rather a total just normal thing to ask. It's like,
yeah, even though you know, but I don't think
I've ever asked anyone.
It just happened. But how do you know if you're exclusive? How do you know if what the rules are?
Yeah.
Well, half the time I don't want to know.
That's probably why you don't study up.
No, I'm pretty sure the last person that I ended up actually being exclusive with, I think I was somewhere and someone I basically introduced her and said, oh, this is my girlfriend. And that's it. And she was like, what? And I was like,
see, well, exactly.
Well, you are. And I sort of went, well, you are, aren't you?
Happy about it, right?
No, fucking raging. she was happy. But then, because that's kind of the only way I would feel like I needed to put a label on it is when people ask me what they are to me.
Yeah.
Then exactly. I go, right, well, that's my girlfriend or that's whatever. I actually recently did something and went somewhere and someone said, oh, is this your girlfriend? I went, oh, no, that's just someone else, and then didn't think about what I'd said, but I was so panicky about the fact it wasn't my girlfriend, and when people think that, I went, oh no, that's just, and then felt horrendous.
I didn't
mean it like that, you know, when you panic, and I was like, oh no, it's not my girlfriend, so I made a big fucking thing of it. So I think that's the only time it matters to me what the label is when, because I know how I feel, and hopefully they do, so you're basically labeling something for other people's benefit.
Yes, totally.
Not for your own.
Well, I my favorite part of the whole situation is that kind of like limbo land where you and the other person know, but no one else does. And I think for a lot of us, it only lasts maybe a couple of weeks. And I know it did for Josh, where it was like our really lovely little secret. And it gave like a lot of novelty to this new fledgling relationship. And then when we were on that holiday in Crete, that's when we decided it's time to make it happen. And actually I have the picture framed that we used to announce. I hate that word, but
oh, I love the announcement picture.
So let me, can you see that? It's the two of us sitting on a rock.
Oh, that's lovely.
Embracing. So no faces, just a post.
Oh, so you put that on Instagram.
Yeah. And so I thought that was a very gentle way to do it.
Did you tag it? Obviously you were both tagged in it.
Yeah, so the nosy bastards could click and have a little, you know, peruse. But, you know, got to give them something.
So with social media, because I think social media has had the biggest impact on people having to label their relationships and when they go public with everything. Because, pre that, you wouldn't really go public. You wouldn't call round everyone and go, by the way, I've got a boyfriend. By the way, I've got a girlfriend. Yeah. By the way, I've got this. It would just be when you see them. But now, because of social media, it's like you have to announce it. Mm-hmm. You have to tell everyone when you're in a relationship, when you're not. And it's the easiest way to find that. If someone is in a relationship you don't necessarily know, you go on their Instagram, check if there's any pictures, you do all that. Whereas pre-social media, I suppose it was just when you met people, went to parties or whatever else, that's the only time you would really know if someone was single or in a relationship. Do you think that social media has caused more problems for people when it comes to having to announce their relationship status? Do you think it makes
absolutely
no
question. It not only that, it just makes every single part of a relationship more complicated.
Yeah.
Because everything's branded. Everything is, how is this going to make me or us look?
When it comes to a social media presence, my social media presence is very much, and has been for a long time, single kind of bachelor guy, you know, whatever it may be. And that's part of how people know me and what people, you know, like or whatever else. So if I'm seeing someone or dating someone, I continue, you know, I go and do PAs or I meet people, I'm very friendly, I'm quite flirty, I'm whatever else. That is can be seen as disrespectful if you have a partner, even though that's part of my job in a way. Does that make sense? Part of my job is to be quite flirty. People know that I'm quite flirty with everything, and having to change that or completely change who you are because you want to be respectful to someone makes it quite hard when that's part of your job.
I've said this to Pete before. I was with someone who really struggled with my social media, very jealous. I would put up, you know, I did a bikini shoot and I had to cancel the shoot, take the picture down, pay the money back. And it all just went horribly wrong because this person was so jealous. But that's probably because I didn't pick up on the red flags that were there the whole time, the jealousy. And I, you know, sort of just pretended it wasn't because I was in love. And then the next thing was, why aren't I on your social media? You know, you can put a bikini picture up, but you can't put a picture of me up. And for me, it was just too much pressure because I wasn't ready to share with all my followers my private world of what I thought was love and happiness. Why, you know, wasn't quite ready to do it. So I mean, it always comes back to that, you know, if you have to communicate with each other and understand what are the levels. Are you okay not to be on my social media, or when is the right time?
Yeah.
And it fascinates me because 10, 15 years ago, this wasn't a conversation. You know, no one was sitting in their living rooms, as Peter said, over a glass of wine saying, Are we ready to tell everyone about us? Are you ready to tell your family, not the people that follow you who actually don't know you?
Yeah.
It's an incredibly weird world. Like, it makes you just think, where are we going to be at in 20, 30 years? Like, what else do we need to share?
You know what? It's a funny one. Everything you said there just resonates so hugely with me. But I think that actually the future is bright, which is probably a contentious thing to say. I think that we are kind of beginning to come full circle with the social media and love thing, where I'm seeing kind of Gen Z friends of mine that I've kind of grown up in a social media world doing this, say, relationship announcement thing. And they're doing it so much more subtly than I could ever do it. They literally, they just go for it. They don't do an announcement. They're just like, oh, now there's pictures with this person and, and there's a love heart. Or there's the two guys or two girls holding hands emoji. And there's no kind of justification of the relationship. It's just, there it is.
Yeah. And
then there's a picture of my cat or then, you know. And
I think that's probably the best way to do it. I think when people start having to justify why they're in it, do you know what I mean? I think that was what people used to think making an announcement or letting people know that you're in a relationship was, is this is now my partner. We've been together for however long. This is the story of our relationship. And this is what's going to happen moving forward. You don't need to fucking do that. This is just, you know what I mean? This is,
and I think it elongates a potentially bad relationship longer than it should be, because you're afraid to go, actually, we're not around, we're not together anymore, because you've had your announcement moment, you've had your big like song and dance about being with this person. It makes it less easy to disconnect, which can be so damaging for both parties.
And I think it's always safer to say as little as possible about your relationship. Because we've all seen it a million times, the big announcement about it's the love of my life. I've never met anyone like him. He's the best thing since sliced bread. We can't wait to get married and have kids 3 months later. He's an arsehole. I fucking hate him. Nothing pictures like he was supposed deleted. To be. Pictures deleted. And you go, oh, trouble in paradise again. do you know what I mean? Like, and that's one of my favourite things about social media is how dramatic everything always is.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean, because it is dramatic when people delete every picture and you go, oh, every picture's been deleted. And then next week, suddenly they'll reappear again. And you think, I wonder what the row about.
Right, if you're putting up every single picture of your ex-partner on your gram, what about the new partner? They're just going to see your whole like dating history. Like, I wouldn't necessarily want to see my new partner's like all his ex-girlfriends all over Instagram. It's just I almost can't get my head around it sometimes.
I broke up with a guy years ago, and I made a conscious decision to keep all of the pictures up on my page. So if you scroll way back, they're still there.
Yeah.
And I love this guy, but like, we're friends. And so, because I see it as like, it might not have worked. We might have had like a bad breakup, or you might hate me even. But that was a really important part of my life and me becoming like who I am today.
Yeah.
And if the new partner doesn't get that, why they're still there, then they're not the person for me. Because I'm all about kind of story and journey and all that wanky shit.
You said it, I think you're still friends. If it was a very, you know, and that says that something about you as a person, if you're able to be friends with your ex, you know, that's nice. But if it's a very messy thing and there's low, you know, and that person's still on your page, you think, why are you holding up? I would question that person.
If it was damaging and they were an asshole to you, then of course you want to get rid of them.
Yeah.
So listen, before we move on to our little game, can you give us your three top tips for going public?
Okay. Don't do it too soon and enjoy the moment being for you and them first.
Yep.
I say keep that moment for as long as possible because it's fun. Number two, it doesn't need to be a big song and dance. Go subtle or go home.
Go subtle or go home. I love that.
Yeah, it's part of you, but it's not all of you. So just have fun with it.
Nice.
And then number three, like Cece said, communicate, and make sure that you're both on the same page before making it public.
Love that.
I love that,
my man.
Yeah. Thank you.
That. Good.
No problem. I'm going to set up a consultancy firm for online dating.
You should do. You should do. Right, Cece.
We're
going
to play a game with you.
I've prepared for this.
Oh, good. Well done. You did read the brief.
Oh, yeah.
So, Love the Way You Lie. We play every single week. You're going to tell us two stories, two of which are going to be a lie and one's going to be the truth. Is that the right way around? Because every week I get that wrong.
No, two truths and a lie.
Two truths and one lie, because we haven't played this ever before. So, we get a question per story, which we will ask at the end. So, number one, story number one.
Just before you start, I say this every week and it's always correct. I think Cece did it last week again. Cece's amazing at this. She's like Sherlock fucking Holmes. I am shit and I don't think I've ever got one right.
Not one.
I genuinely don't think I've got one right, Abba.
I'm a really bad liar, so this might be your week.
Okay, good. Let's do it.
Analyze.
Okay, story number one. What one will I start with? Will I go truth or a lie? Okay, story number one.
Are you going with the truth or a lie?
Fuck you. How about that? I was in a relationship with this guy. And we were, you don't need to know this detail, but we were together for about a year. And it was long distance. I don't know why I said that either. But we were enjoying each other's bodies one Sunday afternoon. And when the enjoyment came to a natural end, we threw the condom onto the floor, just, you know, to throw it away. And this boyfriend had a little dog. It was a miniature pincher, so like slightly bigger than a chihuahua. And the minpin came in and barked for a minute and then left. And then later on, I was going, you know, making the bed and trying to find this used condom, which was nowhere to be found. And we looked at each other and we were like, did the dog eat it? And then we started laughing and then we panicked. And then we thought, let's just keep an eye on him for the next 24 hours and see if he's okay. It could be under the, it could be some, maybe it's on the roof, I don't know. Next day, I'm taking the little dog for a walk. And now the neighborhood that he lived in was very residential. Loads of kids, loads of yummy mummies, loads of boogies. And there's a kind of a doggy play area. And I'm taking him out and I'm on my phone while he's going for a poo. And I look back and the dog has the condom hanging from his little doggy bum hole halfway out, and there's about 20 people around, and I swear a couple of them saw and were looking at me. I can't be 100% sure because I went into panic mode, and I thought, what does one do? Do I pick him up and run away? Do I leave him and run away by myself? So I decided I was going to reach down and hold the very end of the condom and gently pull away until it came out of my hand, and I put it in the doggy bag and we vacated the vicinity. That's story one. Do you want questions now or at the very end of all three?
I need a bit to breathe.
Yeah, we need to process that one. So okay. we'll do all questions at the end.
Okay, story number two. I had just come out of the closet. I think I was about 18 years old and I was still living at home. With mum and dad. I was dating this guy that I met online and he lived in my local area. Now, I lived in a really small town, so it was like the only two gays in the village, and luckily he was hot, so that was great. And, you know, we had fooled around before in his car, in a bush, but never in my house. And anyway, I knew he was on a night out. He was texting me saying that he was on a night out and he was drunk and sending all these "I really like you" and romantic text messages. I went to bed and then my phone starts ringing beside my head. It must have been about midnight, and I'm like, hello, and I'll call him Ben. He was outside my house shit-faced going, can I come in? I'm like, no, you cannot come in, my parents are here. they have only just found out that I'm gay. It's a difficult time. They're fine with it, but let's just ease into that. And then he goes, no, let me in. And he kept saying, let me in. I said, God, okay, but you need to be quiet. Went down, brought him in. I literally had my hand over his mouth as we walked up the stairs. I lived up in the attic. That was where my room was. Mom and Dad were on the first floor. So we had to walk past their bedroom up to mine. Right, we're there, again, enjoying each other's body. This is a different guy, by the way. And then he says he needs to go for a wee. And I'm like, well, you can't.
Not allowed.
You'll need to go past my parents' bedroom. And he goes, no, I need to go. He walks past the bedroom. Now I'm on the upper floor listening as he's going by. And I just hear my parents' bedroom door open as he's walking past. And I hear my father and this half-naked guy that I'm with have an interaction in the hallway. And I'm 18. And my dad goes, hello? And he goes, Ben? I'm like, what? And he goes, what are you doing here? Apparently, I didn't know this. Ben was one of my dad's employees in his garage as a mechanic. And we were getting off together. Ben hadn't told me. So my dad then says, Ben, come downstairs. I need to have a chat with you. And I'm free. I'm sweating. My heart is palpitating. And I go to the landing and I can hear them talking. And the one thing I picked up from the conversation was, what are your intentions with my son? And then Ben said lovely things and was very polite about it. And then my dad gave him permission to go back upstairs to me. And then that was the end of the story. Dad didn't want to talk about it again. And it was ancient history, but it didn't last. That was kind of one of the last times we met. That was story two. Story three, another long distance relationship. I would see this guy once every 3 months. And it was difficult being apart sexually. So I decided to give him a gift. And I was in a sex shop in Dublin perusing with a couple of friends. And I found this tube called Clone a Willy. You ever heard of this? Clone a Willy.
Clone a Willy.
Clone a Willy, right.
Yeah, Clone a Willy. And so it's a home dildo making kit. So you make like plaster and you insert your member and then you let it harden and then you pour in latex and 24 hours later, you have a self-made dildo. So I made this pink monstrosity for the ex. And when I went to...
I love the way you called it a monstrosity though.
A complete monster. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that doesn't even come close, guys. Seriously. I'm struggling to sit right now. I'm not even on a chair. I'm just balancing.
That's what we used to call him on MasterChef, the old tripod.
The Iraqi Irish sausage. That's what
yeah. Matthew Pinson at 6'9" didn't have nothing on him.
So I brought the Clone of Willy to the ex and he was delighted with it. But anyway, we broke up and about 2 years later, I was back in this city on a work trip and we decided to hang out. And I went to his apartment and we had drinks and lovely, friendly situation. And then he said, you know, I kept something from you. And in his bedside locker, 2 years later, he had kept my Clone Willy, even though he now had a new boyfriend. Oh. And this boyfriend had found it, and my Willy had caused complete like devastation in the relationship and a big rift, which I was quite proud of, actually, if I'm honest.
Okay.
So there are three stories.
These are fucking decent stories.
So first one is the Johnny eating dog. Second one is boyfriend and father meeting on landing.
Yeah.
And third one is Dick drives a wedge between new couple.
I love it. This is great.
Yeah. So, Cece, questions?
I don't have any questions.
Okay.
You went into really good detail.
I do. Yeah, you did go into good detail. Sorry, so I just have one. No, that's good. So I just have one question for the last one. Do you think your ex-boyfriend used your dick on his new boyfriend?
Oh, good question.
I hope not. Oh my God. No.
You hope not, but you secretly hope he did. Because how fucking funny would that be?
I know. I think he used it on himself even later.
I mean, it's even more awkward if you got the new boyfriend to fuck him with your dick. Just saying. I mean, that's got nothing to do with the stories.
That's detail, Pete. That is fucking detail.
That is the most Pete Wick story I've ever heard, or the conclusion.
It's just, I don't know how my mind works sometimes. Okay, so Cece, truth, what are you going for?
Oh, fuck. So I feel like the lie is, I am a little bit torn, but what am I going to say? I'm going to go with number three.
You think number three is the lie?
Yeah.
I think if number three is a lie, then there's just too much detail on that for that to be a lie, surely. I reckon number two is the liar.
So now do I reveal?
Yeah.
Pete, you've done it, my friend.
Yes! Finally!
Ria, I just want to tell you, this is show 26. 26 weeks.
Oh, my God.
And that's the first time I got it right.
I told you it was shit.
Amazing.
So, no, hang on. I've got a question then. There is some truth to that story.
Correct. Because what they say is every good lie has an element of truth. It was truthful up until the point that Dad asked him to go downstairs. They did the landing.
I fucking knew. Okay. Well done. That attention to detail was bang on.
Loved them stories. I've got visual images of you in all sorts of situations after them.
You asked for something sexy and weird, and I think I take.
We asked for sexy, and putting a condom out of a dog's ass was not quite what we had in mind. But thank you for that.
That's decent. Yeah, that's a decent story.
And I might just say, I recently read Graham Norton's biography, his book. Autobiography, and he had the exact same thing happen with an ex-boyfriend and a dog in, I think, Hyde Park, and he had to pull the condom out. So this is a common thing. I don't know if anyone listening would have the same thing.
Pete, have you ever been in that situation?
No, as an animal lover, I just want to tell everyone at home to be careful with your condoms. They are not for dog consumption, and try not to yank them from your dog's ass at any point.
Okay. You know,
dogs love salty things.
Oh, God.
It's true. If you ever go to the gym or you've ever been running or whatever and you come home, your dogs lick your legs. So they love the salt. So imagine how much they... Anyway, so, Ria...
That was a public service announcement.
Public service announcement. I'd like to entertain and educate on this show, Riyadh. It's part of what CC and I do. Thank you so much for being our guest today. You've been an absolute pleasure. It's good to sort of see your face again. I've missed you.
You too, buddy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
See you later, mate. Ta-da. Bye-bye.
Alrighty then. Go on. You're going to talk about your mate now, aren't you?
What a lovely guy.
No, I like him. He's very calming as well. I felt quite calm just listening to him.
Did you?
Yeah. Or did you not?
Yes. No, I was just... Is that as opposed to listening to me?
Oh, no one tops you, Pete.
That's what I was hoping for.
No one tops you. You make me feel calm, relaxed, inspired, happy, magical. I can't use all my words, Pete. Just going to get a dictionary real quick.
Right, so shall we move on?
Yes.
What are we going to move on to, Cece? Are we going to move on to our favourite part of the show?
Listeners, questions, stories, a little bit of advice from us, because it's valuable. We're going to move on.
This week we have one story, and someone is also requesting the advice from PC. It's us.
I love that. That's definitely us. Yeah, I just love that they want our advice. Before we go on to this, I'm going to tell you. So if anyone did listen last week, we had the lovely lady with the lovely voice.
Hannah.
Okay, well, I wasn't sure if we were going to share her name, but Hannah came on last week. She left us a voice note, and it was about a guy being a bit of a twat. He wasn't sort of giving her...
compliments. They were friends for years. Yeah. It wasn't that flirty. What should she do? Ditch him.
Where's your head at? And Hannah's come back and messaged actually both of us on Instagram. We've got slightly different messages, but I'll read mine. So Hannah has said she's the one with the dating dilemma. She just wanted to say that she has ditched the guy and thank you so much for your advice. So, Pete, I love that we do this. We help people.
We do. We are here for you. We're here for you all.
What message did you get, Pete?
It was similar. She ditched the guy. Hannah with a beautiful voice. Now that you are single, you never know. Hopefully one day I'll bump into you and I'll get to listen to your dulcet tones.
So should we listen to then Alice, see if Alice can match up to Hannah's voice? This is going to be hard.
Alice, let's hear your story.
Alice.
I was 26, he was 42. We'd met in his antique shop and swapped numbers in social media, and we'd been texting pretty much every day for a few weeks, getting on like a house on fire, and we finally arranged to go on a date. So this one evening, I met him in a pub and, you know, conversation and drinks were flowing. We were having a really nice time. But then he stops and he's just looking at me, and then he says, "Do you know what you need to do?" And I said, "What? What do I need to do, Dan?" And he said, "Get rid of that ginger hair, get yourself a boob job and join a gym. That way you could almost pass for all right." And I was absolutely gobsmacked. I thought, not only have you just had the balls to say that to my face and be really rude, but why the hell are we on a date if I'm the complete opposite of clearly what you want? And as I was thinking this was all going through my mind, he finished his drink and he said to me, "So you're coming back to mine then?" And I just looked at him and I was thinking, abso-fucking-lutely not. No way in hell. That was the end of the date. Didn't see him again. Absolute idiot.
Oh, God, some people really piss me off.
Right. Well, Dan is not the man. Dan is a dick. Dan's 42 and still behaving like a fucking child. Firstly, I love a redhead, so you keep that hair.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the breast department, anything more than a handful's a waste. So don't you worry about that, babe. Stay as you are. Fuck him. Dan sounds like a cock. So you picked him up in an antique shop. What was he, one of the antiques in the shop? Silly old man. Fuck him. Fuck him. Fuck him. Alice, fuck him. What should she do?
Fuck him.
But not fuck him. Don't
but
actually
don't fuck him.
Him
but
just fuck him. Fuck him.
Him.
Fuck,
him.
Off.
Yeah.
Fuck him off. Alice, what a fucking knob, honestly. But on the plus side, Alice, you sound delightful. Another fabulous voice.
You know, I'm not even gonna say, because there's no need for me to. Pete, I think you've said it all. And also, it's quite nice when women are feeling a little bit like disheartened or whatever. When a guy, you know, gives compliments and a pick me up, I think it's really nice. And you are very much a pick me up person. So I think I'm gonna leave Alice with your lovely thoughts of fuck him, not fuck him. And I think your advice, yeah, Dan, you are a dick.
Yeah, Dan's a complete nutter cock, and you are much better without. And obviously, you've got the rest of your life to live. Dan
hasn't.
Dan sounds like he's had a terrible time. So on the plus side, you're great. Dan's a cock.
I think that's it, honestly.
That's all we can do with that one. But Alice, thank you for your story. We really appreciate that. And I hope your dates since then and any dates moving forward are more complimentary and fabulous, because that's what you deserve.
I couldn't agree more.
Merci beaucoup.
Merci beaucoup.
That's French.
It is.
I'm bilingual.
Okay, I'm sure you are. Next, okay, if you're bilingual, I'm going to introduce our next advice in French. I'll give you a clue. Her name's Katie, but go on.
Next up, we have Katie. Mm-hmm. Katie has a question.
Yeah, what's the question?
This is French.
Yeah.
To stay or to leave? My partner, sorry, I'm really insulting every French person.
But that was quite good. I was going to say, that was quite good.
Do I sound like Fred?
Yeah, you sound exactly like Fred, like fucking spit
okay.
image.
Shall I do it again?
Definitely
okay.
Do it again.
Okay, next up, we have some dating advice from Katie. Yeah. Katie would like to know, to stay or to leave? My partner and I have constant ups and downs. We are so alike, but we clash too much.
Do you want to give what Fred would say, the advice?
Fred would say, sacre bleu. Est-ce que je peux quitter le temps, non? Tu le parles français. Fred would say, leave him and find some hot love somewhere else because everybody deserves to be loved.
I don't know what, Pete, you're just taking it away today. I don't know, to stay or to leave.
Do you know what? In all seriousness, just because your partner, everyone has ups and downs and not every relationship is easy. Ups and downs are fine, depending on, because I think an argument is good sometimes. It's good that you disagree with people. You can't always be the same and it's nice to disagree, but it's the way in which you disagree and it's how those disagreements make you feel. If you are not happy, you shouldn't be in the relationship. If the bad outweighs the good and there are more downs than there are ups, you shouldn't be in a relationship. If you feel like you're walking on eggshells and you're constantly shouting and screaming at each other and arguing, then you shouldn't be in a relationship.
I agree with what you're saying. I think, again, you two obviously need to have a little chat.
Because what is key, Cece?
What is key every single time is communication. Work out, do you both want it? Because if you both want it, the question is, do I stay or do I go? Because if you both equally want the relationship, you
should can, I stay or should I go?
Do, you can make it work. But if you don't want it anymore, is that really the question? Do I want this or do I not? Not do I stay or do I go? If you've checked out and you're staying there because of comfort and it's, you know, it's your normality, then that's not a reason to stay with someone. I've got so many questions for you, but ask yourself, do you want this relationship and does he want the relationship? And if so, couples therapy. There's loads of things you can do, loads of things.
Yeah, I completely agree with Cece. It really comes down to in your heart of hearts and your head of heads, where are you at? And if you think it's worth fighting for, then yeah, 100%, you have to communicate and discuss that with him. If in your head, before you even got to that point where you discuss it, you're not in it anymore, then I think you also need to communicate that. You need to communicate exactly how you're feeling.
Yeah.
And do what's best for you. And I think sometimes what people end up doing is... because they get similar to someone and they get on well about certain things and they've been together for a while, they tend to stay with someone because they think that's enough. And it's not enough. The measure of a relationship is not when things are going well, because when things are going well, we can all be happy and whatever else. The measure of a relationship is how you deal with it when things aren't going well.
Yeah.
And when shit hits the fan, how do you both deal with that?
Yeah.
But yes, Katie, good luck.
Good luck, let us know. Send us a DM. Alice, I hope you find someone younger.
And just better than Dan, which to be honest, isn't hard, because I imagine if you dated a slug, it would be better than Dan, because he sounds like a complete and utter prick.
Do you know what also I love about the world and the way it works, and you don't even have to do anything about it? Karma. Oh, Dan, you've got some karma coming.
Dan does have some karma coming.
He does, doesn't he?
Karma gonna get you.
I think it's that time again.
No, don't say it.
I think it's time to go.
Sorry? You have listened to The Dating Show with myself and the fabulous, wonderful, magical, most amazing person I've ever met, Cece Coleman.
You can fucking stay. I tell you what, you can stay.
26 weeks in. Thank you. This is Foobar Radio. You can share your stories for listeners' questions and advice by emailing thedatingshow@foobarradio.com. You can also keep up with us and everything we do on The Dating Show at our home, our hub, our HQ on Instagram, which is thedating_show. It is that time where we have to leave now, which is just always very sad.
And we agreed before we came on today that Pete's going to play us out with a song. And I'm going to sit and listen.
We did agree with that. But Cece was actually going to play her clicker and do backing vocals whilst I sing. So I'm going to go with a well-known classic. You may have heard it from Armageddon. I'm not actually leaving on a jet plane, but I am going to sing it for you.
Okay.
Leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. We'll be back same time next week. Goodbye. Love you.